Hey there, welcome back to a new episode of the Liberators Network podcast. I'm Christian Verwijs, I'm one of the two Liberators together with Barry Overeem. In this episode, we're going to talk about visual thinking strategies, what they are and how they can help create a learning environment for the people that you work with. Before we begin, I would like to thank four new patrons that joined our community of patrons. Gerald Enlightner, Duarte Peralta, Jonas Persson and Jakob Rasmussen, thank you so much for joining and for supporting this podcast and all the other content that we create. Becoming a patron is easy, it's a simple way to support us, and I'll put a link in the show notes if you're interested in supporting us too. But let's move on to the episode. I recently came across the wonderful book Visual Thinking Strategies by Philip Yenawine. It was recommended to me by Dave West from Scrum.org, so thanks for the recommendation. The book describes an alternative approach to learning that is based on shared sense-making and relies on inquiry to drive learning. Now, most traditional approaches to teaching are based on giving people information, usually through sheets, books, presentations. But scientific research in this area clearly shows that very of this actually sticks when people leave the classroom or the place where the learning took place, even immediately after training. Our minds don't seem very willing to digest regurgitated expertise, no matter how profound, wise, or clever it is. This is a fundamental insight, especially when you consider that learning is not something that only happens in the classrooms of high schools and universities, but is in fact an integral part of life in modern organizations. For example, you have to learn new approaches for working together. If you choose to work with Scrum, you have to learn how to do that. New employees have to onboard into an organization. They have to learn how to work in that organization and what's customary to do and how people behave. You have to learn the skills to analyze critical incidents and for discovering how to avoid them again in the future. Obviously, you may need to learn skills like unit testing, dealing with users, marketing, etc., that are all important for your job. And in most jobs these days, advancements in technologies and ways of working are continuous, so you have to really stay ahead of all the things that are happening so you can make use of that. But it's also about learning how to improve work as a team or as a department, which is not necessarily about skills, but learning how to make your work easier or to work together more effectively. Now, interestingly enough, most of the times these examples of learning are done with expert-based models. So people are sent to internal or external training to learn something that is beneficial to the organization and hopefully to the people receiving the training as well. Or external experts come in to analyze the situation, write a report, and share their findings in the hope that people will learn from that. But it seems to me that this system is quite broken if you consider how unwilling our brains are to learn from the expertise of others. And I think most of us seem to know and feel this in their gut as well. I think most of us don't enjoy the prospect of having to participate in a classroom training. If you combine this with the increasing complexity of our world and the work that we do, making the value of expertise in the traditional sense is increasingly irrelevant. All fields that acknowledge this complexity, like agile, systems thinking, design thinking, liberating structures, learning 3.0, and lean startup, all assume that shared learning is a more important foundation than a reliance on plans and external experts. So I think we can do better, and visual thinking strategy seems like one such approach. What are visual thinking strategies? Philip Yenawine developed visual thinking strategies about 20 years ago as part of his work for art museums. The initial goal was to improve how people learn from studying art. The regular approach in museums of telling people interesting details about the painter and the painting turned out to be very ineffective in terms of stickiness. So even if you have audio tours, booklets, or guided tours, people will generally forget what they learned within minutes, hours, and certainly days. So how effective is that kind of learning? Building on insights from cognitive psychology and learning sciences, Yenawine and his team developed an approach that is designed to actively trigger people to explore and make sense of material for themselves with a group of peers. In visual thinking strategies, teachers ask three consecutive questions. The first is, what is going on here? The second is, what do you see that makes you say that? And finally, what more can we find? It's that simple, really. Acting as facilitators, teachers basically do the following. They repeat what participants answer in response to the questions, but using their own words. This allows teachers to acknowledge what was said and to anchor the responses into whatever model is important. So if you're talking about art history, you would connect it to certain things from art history that make sense for the painting that you're looking at. If you're looking at it from natural sciences, you would maybe make references to scientific advancements in that area, etc. Another thing that teachers or facilitators in this case do is that they create a space where everyone has the opportunity and the safety to respond. And finally, they use open-ended questions to encourage deep thinking. Now, coming from an expert-based model of teaching, this may seem completely counterintuitive. In visual thinking strategies, the teacher is not actively teaching the group, but they are actively facilitating the conversation and the shared discovery of the group, and they're framing where necessary what is being said by the group in a way that makes sense in terms of what the group is trying to learn. Now, why do visual thinking strategies work so well? Because in his book, Jenna Wine shares many examples of how visual thinking strategies are being used in different areas of learning. And they discovered quite a number of interesting things. The first is that people are more actively engaged with the topic at hand. Rather than being provided with answers, they are invited to seek them out for themselves. And these answers that they uncover stay with them much longer and much more vividly than when they're simply handed the answers. A second insight is that working together, groups know far more than individuals. They can build on each other's observations and knowledge to paint a more complete picture of what they're trying to make sense of. Another insight is that the more often groups do this, the more proficient they become, and the easier it becomes for them to build on each other, to ask each other questions, and to make sense of what's happening together. Another insight is that visual thinking strategies gives a voice to people that tend to be silent or withdrawn in groups, allowing the group to benefit from their perspective as well. And this is where visual thinking strategies are clearly connected to liberating structures, which also try to create a space where everyone can contribute, even the people that are generally more silent, don't have a strong opinion, or are more withdrawn in sharing their opinion with the group. A good way to learn visual thinking strategies, at least according to Jenna Wine, is to start with art. Jenna Wine argues that art is experienced so diversely and subjectively that it offers a good low threshold opportunity for people to participate. After practicing visual thinking strategies here, you can use the same principles elsewhere. And finally, a discovery that they made is that the process of learning is simply more engaging and rewarding for participants, because they also notice that they're figuring out all these things on their own, without an expert telling them, even though the teacher may be reframing some of their answers into what they're trying to learn. Now, I can imagine that you're listening to this episode and wondering, what does this look like for learning in organizations? Because you're talking about something that came from art museums. How does that translate to your work with a team? Now, although visual thinking strategies were designed for use in museums, you can use them wherever teaching and learning takes place. So within the context of organizational work, these are some examples where you can use visual thinking strategies. One idea is to use them for evaluations or retrospectives together with everyone involved. You can simply ask the same questions. So in this case, what is going on here? And what do you see that makes you say that? And what more can we find? Another example is to use or replace traditional onboarding that relies heavily on training programs with a more visual thinking strategy style approach where new employees are paired with experienced employees. You can use VTS to share experiences of new employees, and this is a great way for them to learn about organizational culture, common practices, and perhaps even identify potential improvements that are more obvious to new employees than the people that have been working there for a long time. Another example is to learn new skills. For example, for developers, you can use example code that they can reflect on together, and you can ask the three VTS questions. You can also replace marketing training with roleplay and VTS questions. Another example is that you can replace traditional training and workshops with VTS-styled approaches. For example, at the Liberators, we teach a lot of Scrum. What we often do is simply present the Scrum framework and ask the three VTS questions, and then basically have a conversation about it with the group. It's a great way to learn the roles, responsibilities, and the way the Scrum framework works. So these are just some examples, and we're always curious to hear your own experiences and examples of where you've used it. So if you have some, please let us know in the comments. Let's move to some closing thoughts. We strongly believe in the local wisdom and intelligence of groups. It's one of the principles we design all our workshops and classes at the Liberators around. Visual thinking strategies are a powerful and simple technique for helping groups to learn together and make sense of what they're experiencing. It's a very different learning model than an expert-driven model where the expert is telling the group what they need to learn. In visual thinking strategies, teachers basically ask three open-ended questions after presenting them with some material. The first question is, what is going on here in this material? The second question is, what do you see that makes you say that? And finally, what more can we find? So instead of teaching, the teachers become facilitators of the learning process that the group is going through. And as needed, the teacher reframes what the participants are saying in words and contexts that make sense from what the group is trying to learn about. So if you're teaching something about the Scrum framework, you may reframe some of what people are saying in terms of the Scrum framework. Now give it a try. We're very excited about visual thinking strategies. We use them a lot. They're really a great way for groups to learn, but we're always eager to learn about examples from your own experience. Where have you put them to use, and what did you notice about using them? Let us know in the comments. And with that, we've reached the end of today's episode. I hope you learned something new, in this case, about how to create an engaging learning environment for groups where they can make sense of things together and actually remember what they learned. If you'd like to support us in making more content like this, you can check out our Patreon link. It's a very simple way to support us. There's more information that you can find there. Thank you for listening, and I wish you a very wonderful week, and I hope to see you again for the next episode. Take care, stay safe, see you next time. Bye-bye.